chapter 2. And let me read the verses once again, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." And remember, that's not of any kind of effort.
Exactly.
Not of works. And the reason, there is a reason for this. You know, I think most people think God just has this weird set of rules. You know,
exactly.
Don't do this, do that, don't do this or the other, you know, do this or the other. There's a reason for this. Lest any man should boast.
Exactly.
God will have no one boasting before him.
Amen.
Let me put it another way. Thousands upon thousands brag about what they do for the Lord.
Exactly.
To gain God's favor, but none of it is valid. That's what the scripture teaches. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But the scripture almost always emphasizes truth as it is, not as men would suppose it to be.
Yeah.
Because he says, "For we are his workmanship." That is something that God Almighty made.
Yeah.
And how did he make it? He made it through a creative act.
Yes, sir.
This is not synergism.
Yeah.
God doesn't work with man. And certainly man does not work with God.
Exactly.
For we are his workmanship, created, but in a specific place. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let me emphasize again, I may say it a different way, but as I did last Sunday, it doesn't matter what a work is, if it's outside of Christ, it's not a good work.
Amen.
We looked at Matthew 7. There are people who right now are preaching in his name.
Yes, sir.
They said many wonderful works. How? In his name.
Yeah.
They cast out devils in his name. And he calls that what? Iniquity. Man just doesn't get it.
Exactly.
Now, let me move forward here. But to reiterate, Paul, in this text, reveals that it takes, or I should say took, is a better way, Paul reveals that it took divine preparation to make it possible for us to walk in good works in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When I was young and I was in a church that called itself Baptist, I was always taught salvation is by grace, but good works are what you do. But that is not what the Apostle Paul teaches, is it?
Exactly.
You see, Paul does not use the word "but" here. And that may seem to be so, when I thought of this, I thought that's so simplistic. But he doesn't use the word "but." Had he used the word "but," it would have threw a whole different light on it.
Exactly.
Read it again. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." But that's not what it says, is it? But yet that's what most people think when they read that. In other words, there is this place for an opting out of good works, even though you may be created in Christ Jesus. But what Paul actually writes is, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose."
Yes, sir.
It is for or unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
So as I said, Paul uses the word proetomazo, something along that line. The pronunciation of it by me really doesn't matter. It is not simply to before ordain. To before ordain simply means to declare something beforehand.
Yeah.
To say in advance that something in the future is going to take place. But it's deeper than that. It's more profound than that. The only other place this word is used, and I want to go back there, is Romans chapter 9. verse 23. Where he says, Paul is writing and says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath what? There it is. Afore prepared. Those two English words are the one Greek word. Afore prepared. Not just ordained. God didn't just say, I'm going to take them to glory in the end. He makes us fit for glory now.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
We are afore prepared unto glory.
Amen.
And this is the same word he uses when he said that God hath what? Afore prepared that we should walk in them.
Yeah.
This is not just some New Testament thought.
No.
Turn to Psalm chapter, or the 90th Psalm. It's not Psalm 90. Not Psalm chapter 90, rather. The 90th Psalm, and let me see, I believe it's verse 17. Now let's go back up here. Look, verse 14, just to get a little more of the context. Psalm 90, verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now notice, who does the satisfying here? God does. Yes, there is a cry from the psalmist for satisfaction, but who must do the satisfying? God does. Then look at the next verse. You ever heard somebody say, God don't make you do anything?
Yeah.
You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're saved by grace, but God don't make you walk in good works. Well, if he don't, you won't.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. Make us glad.
Amen.
Do you see that? Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. And that seems like a strange statement, doesn't it? Make us glad. This is something that my flesh recoils against. Because when I think my flesh thinks of affliction, it's this.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not what affliction is for.
No.
And God Almighty has ordained affliction. As a matter of fact, back in Romans, the Apostle Paul said, we are accounted as what? Sheep for the slaughter. That's God's purpose.
Yep.
Deal with it.
Amen.
But we ought to deal with it in what?
Yeah.
What's that say? Gladness.
Yes, sir.
Right? But here's the thing, David. It's going to take God to make me glad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. You see? Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have what? Seen evil. And I have more to say about that later. May not get to it today. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And then look at this last part.
Yeah.
And establish thou. What does it say? Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. And it wasn't good enough to say it just once. Yea, the work of our hands establish what? Thou it. Any work that I work in that God Almighty has not established is not a good work.
Exactly.
It don't matter if it's preaching in his name. If it's preaching in his name and it's outside of God Almighty establishing it, if it's outside of that which God Almighty specifically ordained as a good work, it's not only not a good work, it's iniquity.
Amen.
It's iniquity. Now let me state this. Do not look for any good work as to what it is, as to its source, or its reason from within yourself. Because it does not flow from us. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and God had to foreordain that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Because our walk outside of that is nothing but iniquity, no matter what that walk is.
Right.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look at that one. Just want to give you several verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and just one verse. Let me see, is that right? Yes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their, what? And their works. Now here the question is not about just good work, bad work, it's whatever work, yeah. Right? And their works, where? Are in the hand of God. Now what's the whole, is it just that they sit there? You understand? Is it just that they sit, that God's kind of like this great pavement underneath us? That's not the emphasis that the that Solomon uses. They are what? They are in the hand of God. What's that mean? He controls them.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And look, no man knoweth either love, what else? Or hatred. By all that is where? Before them.
Yeah.
It all rests where? In other words, somebody said, well, but what's out there? God sees into the future. Solomon says that's not it. It's God Almighty's got it all in His hand. That's what he's talking about. Job chapter 34. And I will spend a little time, more time here. Turn to Job chapter 34. Now most of us are familiar with Job, the account of Job. Now, one thing that many people do not point out is Job, how do I put this? I didn't write it down, but Job oozed, that's about the best way I don't, Job oozed into self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Job oozed, and I put it that way because there is a sense in which Job was forced into it by his three miserable comforters. Because basically what they said is, Job, yeah, we know what you look like outwardly, but behind the scenes, you've got some kind of hidden sin, or else these calamities would not have befallen you. And we know from the beginning that's not so, don't we? We're told by God Himself, He's an upright man that avoids evil.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it? That's what God said about Him.
Yes, sir.
He's an upright man that avoids evil. He eschews it. But you know what? God is pleased to teach us a lesson, not simply by always riding on the mountaintop, but by putting us down where we are truly in ourselves. But look at that. Let me just read the first verse, just for the context. Furthermore, what? Elihu. You rarely hear anyone mentioning Elihu. They always talk about Job, God, and Job's three comforters. But there's a fourth man that's on the scene here. Now you go back and look in chapter 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job. Why? Because he was righteous in his own eyes. And even God acknowledges that later.
Yes, sir.
That Job, you were not correct in everything, even yourself.
Exactly.
And let me say that the error in this world, as all surrounds us, all the error never excuses us.
Exactly. That's it.
That's a lesson to be learned there.
Yes, sir.
It's a lesson we usually have to learn the hard way. We can never excuse any evil on our part based upon the evil of others. Even if their evil influence makes us feel like we've been backed into a corner. Because it's not me that is to be defended.
Exactly.
It is God's righteousness and God's holiness and God's justice and God's truth that is to be defended.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Anyway. Now let's you go down and read what Elihu said. Elihu kept his mouth shut till everybody else had had their say.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it basically said. He was the youngest, so he kept his mouth shut. Now notice in the end, whenever God finally speaks, God rebukes not just Job's three friends, but he rebukes who? Job as well. But one thing is conspicuously absent. God never rebukes anything that Elihu said. Because Elihu was seeking to defend the truth of God.
Exactly.
And look at one, there's one phrase here. Now, basically, let me summarize. In this chapter, in chapter 34, Elihu is basically saying this. Whenever something bad happens to someone, let's make sure this, you deserve not only that, but far worse.
Exactly.
That's basically what he's saying. Somebody said, but Job didn't deserve all this. No, Job deserved hell.
Exactly.
Job deserved God Almighty's wrath. As we all do.
Exactly.
We often love to run to that human expression, but I didn't do that. You know? It's like all these people in prison. Well, I was wrongly convicted of that.
Yeah.
But they usually got a lot of this's in their background. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They talk about the innocent people who are in prison. No, sir. There are no innocent people on the face of this earth. There may be people wrongly convicted of certain crimes, but there are no innocent people on the face of the earth. Now you mark that down. I would dare say that almost every one of us has probably done something that could have landed us in jail. We just didn't get caught for it. You understand what I'm saying? No, look at it. Let me go on. I'll be going on with that forever. Elihu basically says, never seek to justify yourself before God.
Exactly.
That's what he teaches in this chapter. But then look at what he says. Verse 31. Let's just begin there. Surely it is meet. In other words, that means it's proper. It's correct. It's right. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. You see that? It is not said, but Lord, I didn't offend. Because none of us ever have a right to say that.
Exactly.
What we ought to be saying is, as Elihu points out, I will offend no more.
Yeah.
Now look, that which I see not, teach thou me. What do I not see? I can't see anything. And I don't even see this very well. I can't see anything above and beyond what's in my front of my face right now.
Exactly.
In other words, another way of putting it is this. I cannot see the future.
Exactly.
I have no idea what the future holds other than general principles dictated in the Word of God. You understand that? I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. David, I don't even know what the next hour holds for me. Now look, that which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Elihu is setting down a principle. The principle is this: never try to justify yourself. But we are bent toward trying to justify ourselves. Well, so and so did that to me. So what? You deserve far worse. What it boils down to.
Yep, you're right.
Now look, here's an amazing statement. And you don't hear statements like this much in Scripture, but one time's good enough. Look, should it be according to thy mind? He will recompense it. Now look at what it says. You don't hear too many people preaching on this verse. He, that is God, he will recompense it whether thou refuse or whether thou choose. So what's he basically saying?
Yeah.
The way God deals with people ain't up to them.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Whether you refuse, we all know men refuse. Everybody preaches about our refusing God, right?
Oh, yeah.
They all talk about we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And rightfully so.
Yes,
but what else does it say? He will recompense it whether thou refuse or whether thou choose. In other words, it ain't up to you.
Exactly.
God deals with his own as he will. And that includes everybody.
Yeah.
But specifically, it includes his people. And then he says, he will recompense it whether thou refuse or whether thou choose. And not I. Therefore speak what thou knowest.
Yeah.
What do you know? Elihu throughout. And then God revert. When God finally speaks up, that's what he says. Who does all this? God says, I do it.
That's right.
He said, when you can catch Leviathan and lead him about like a little puppy dog, then you can do what I do.
Exactly.
That's what God goes on to say. God merely confirms what his messenger Elihu was sent to say. And this is always the way it is. In other words, let God be true and let every man be what? A liar. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
In other words, give the devil his due. Give fallen nature its due. Quit trying to justify it. Now, here's a question. All of this bad that happened to Job, for what purpose was it? Now, most people think it was to teach Job about how great he was in God's sight. But that's not the end. That's not the way it winds up, is it? Job himself ends up being rebuked by God.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't he? When God spoke favorable of him, Job, to start with, and did not God know where Job was going or would go? It's more than that. Yes, he did, but he ordained where he was going to go. You know why? Because God always brings it to where the truth is. We belong in the dust. God sits on the throne.
Exactly.
And that's where Job was brought.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't he? Now let's look at it. The last chapter. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
Let me tell you, don't think because you know so much doctrine that you can't be an Arminian. Because each and every one of us, flesh, is just as Arminian as it ever was. Probably more much so than we thought it was. Job is brought to confess what? God, I know that thou canst do everything, and look, and that no thought can be withholden from thee.
Exactly.
Now this is more than just nobody can get into God's mind. This is, if God thinks to do something, you can't stop him.
Exactly.
Elihu said it ain't up to you whether you refuse or choose.
That's right.
That ain't the point. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Now, most people want to think, well, Job now, he's giving his friends a hard time. No, that ain't where Job's at now. Because everything comes down to this. It ain't them against me. It's me against God.
Exactly.
My problem is me. That's my problem. My problem ain't them. As I've said before, and I know, and you can blame Earl for this, whatever you want, but as Earl used to say, words is all we have to communicate with. People used to ridicule him and make fun of him and blah, 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 and all their garbage out there. I almost said another word, and I'm glad I didn't. All the stuff, all you do is deal with words. Words is all we have. And we all often want to excuse, well, you know what I mean. No, say what you mean. Because truth is only defined by truth.
Yes.
Nobody knows what you really mean unless you tell them what you really mean.
Exactly.
Because different people can take it different ways.
Yeah.
In other words, and I've heard this, I've probably even used it, but I'm just human. You know what? That ain't the problem. Christ was human. And in him was no sin.
Yes, sir.
Adam was human in the beginning, at the first, and God said he was very good.
Yes, sir.
My problem's not my humanity. My problem is my fall, my depraved nature, my utter corruption, my hatred for God. That's my problem.
Yes, sir.
Because when we say, well, I'm just human, we're trying to excuse ourselves before God.
Exactly.
No, it's not I'm just human. That's not the problem. It's I'm fallen humanity. That's the way we ought to state it. And this is what Job, now look what it says. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, have what? What's the first thing Job begins to confess? Not what my three friends have put me through. Now they put him through hell.
Yeah.
You know? They accused him of things he was not, David, personally guilty of. But he was still personally guilty.
Exactly.
Look, therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. In other words, let me tell you something. Job now had a big, good, solid taste of God's absolute sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's exactly right. God, through a personal, individual lesson, let all of this happen to Job just to bring Job where? All the way down, and to show Job where God was, all the way on top. You could read sovereignty all over the book of Job. And that was the lesson God was pleased to teach Job. Put him through all of that, David, just to teach him God's on top. God does as he pleases. Look at it. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Look, I've heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear. And here's the glorious part.
Yeah.
But now mine eye seeth thee.
Amen.
You see, you can hear everybody else talk about God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
And you can even be convinced of it. But until God gives you the life lesson of it, you don't know him as he truly is. You don't, I should say, see him. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, what?
Yeah.
What? No matter how much Job eschewed evil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Still yet, what? Wherefore, I hate myself.
Amen.
You see that? Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Yes,
sir. Isn't that amazing? Then Job looked at his friend and said, boy, I'm glad I learned that lesson. Is that what he did? No, then he offered sacrifice for his three friends as well. Now, let me say this. Don't think that every person, just because they have some things wrong, is your enemy. Because these men were called Job's friends. And they were offered, and Job offered sacrifice. That's what it said. No, well, actually, they were told to take go get a sacrifice. The whole point is this. Those that God Almighty uses to bring you to see who he really is are your friends.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No matter what they bring about upon you.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying here? These were not Job's enemies. They were his friends. Now I could go through the Proverbs, and we could go through the Psalms, but you know that a friend does what? Sticks closer than a brother. No matter how wrong these men were, who was it that allowed those three men to show up on Job's doorsteps? Who was it? God Almighty had this what? Prepared in advance.
Yes, sir.
Because God's the one that even brought it up to the devil himself. To permit or suffer all of these things to transpire. Every work that took place, God Almighty had it where? In his hand.
Yes, sir.
In his hand. Now I'm going to jump ahead just for a moment and give you this one. And let me go by over here. Turn to, I have the right one. I have the right page. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now you're familiar with this. This is certainly no new truth. Hold on a minute. Let me find it first, then I'll tell you. 2 Samuel. Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now, let me say, no matter, you see, everybody wants, well, what are the good works that God's before ordained for me to walk in? You'll find out when the time comes. How could Job have prepared for what took place with him? How could any one of us prepare for that? Mason, could you prepare? Was God letting you know that's going to happen in advance really help you out any? Might make things worse, might it? If you knew this was coming. Now, let me give you a case in point here. Let me say this. When it comes to works, and especially good works, because remember, good works are spiritual works. There are things that honor the Lord Jesus Christ and seek the good of his people. And let me tell you something. That ought to be our every desire every day. Rather than tearing one another down, we ought to be trying to build one another up.
Yes, sir.
But yet we are constantly backbiting and having to bring up, well, they did this wrong. Look at yourself, not at somebody else.
That's it.
They're not the problem. I'm the problem.
Exactly.
You see? I'm the problem. Now, 2 Samuel 16, does anybody know right off? You've had time to kind of look at it maybe there. Anybody know what happens about the middle of this chapter? Anybody know the guy? Remember the guy named Shimei? Kicking up dust and throwing rocks at David? Huh? Now, do you know the background of what David's been going through right here? His son has not only abandoned him, but has conspired against him to take his throne. Absalom had conspired against David to take his throne. And you know what? David deserved it. Because remember, this, look at back, you remember a lady called, what was her name?
Bathsheba.
That was in the past. Do you remember all of the blood and the deceit and the lies? Huh? Was David an innocent man? But David was God's king.
Yes, sir.
Nonetheless.
Yes, sir.
And God put David exactly where he was because God foreordained or fitted him in advance for that place.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, whether you're a king or you're a pauper, God Almighty fitted you in advance for exactly where you are and exactly where I am. I'm where I am because God Almighty ordained it to be so. Now let's look. Verse 5, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, and I like that, it just said, you know, behold. You know, the scripture says chance happens to us all. But that's only from our perspective.
Exactly.
Yes, it says chance happens to us all, but it's only from our perspective. Behold, they came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Probably not one of David's good buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed as he came. Or said, cursed what? Still. As he came. Cursed. Mm-hmm. And he cast stones at David. Now this is, you know, man, my time's almost gone. And he cast stones at David and at the servants of King David. And all the people, and you think about this, this seems to just be just one of them moot points. Look at it. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Okay, it's just, they were all around him. But that's the point. They were having stones cast at them too. They were in the line of fire because of their association with David.
Exactly.
Now there's a lesson for you, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Let me just stop and say that you are in the line of fire because of your association with Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And there ain't nothing you can do about it other than one thing. Abandon Jesus Christ. You might can do that. I don't know. That's God's business. Abandon Christ, Joe. Jimmy, I'll love you. Good night. If these men would have turned from David and said, enough of this, I'm going back home. Shimei would have rued the day, or loved the day, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. They were all around him, and he's up there chunking rocks down at David, cursing and swearing. And look, thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man. And let me tell you what, he wasn't lying about that.
No.
But there's one thing he did tell a lie about. And thou man of Belial. Belial. In other words, you're a son of the devil. Let me tell you something. David was not a son of the devil.
That's right.
You see, the problem with people who are in error is they do have some points.
Yeah.
They know what we are.
Yeah.
Don't you kid yourself. Quit trying to put on airs and make people think you're better than you are. You know what I mean? People do that. And let me tell you, even God's people can do that. They know what we really are, but they also don't know what we really are. Do you get that? They know what you are in the flesh. They just don't know that that's your flesh. They have no idea what you are in Christ Jesus. They think you're just like them. You are on one side, but on the other side, you're not. Now look, come out, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Look what's happening to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you something. David did bring this upon his head.
Exactly.
And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, can't pronounce it, said unto the king, wherefore should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And he would have.
Yes, sir.
That was one man against the whole army that was with David. This man would have went over and cut his neck off just like you would a wild dog. Wouldn't he? All David would have had to do was just give a nod. Don't you think? All he had to do was do it. It had been done, David. This man would have went over there and cut Shimei's head off. He'd have laid there and bled to death. And here's the amazing. What did David do? Well, let's stop and make fun of him. Is that what he figured we ought to do? Did David become angry? Now, we often do, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
But right here was one of those good works that God before ordained that David walk in. Huh? Now, there are other times that David conduct himself toward certain people like this? Did he conduct himself toward Uriah like this? Did he say, well, that's Uriah's wife and I need to let her alone? Huh? No, this was one of those good works God before ordained that he should walk in. And look, and the king said, what am I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. What's David acknowledging there?
Yeah.
Now, is David actually saying, God come down and whispered to Shimei, now go say these words? Is that what he's talking about? No, what's he saying? God Almighty is the absolute sovereign of the universe, and nobody can do anything unless he has ordained it. You see, his comfort wasn't in laughing at the problem. It wasn't in trying to avoid the problem. It wasn't in trying to mock the problem. It was acknowledging that God Almighty was in absolute control of even the problem.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty ordained the problem.
That's
how you deal with it, not your own way.
Exactly.
You deal with it by acknowledging God Almighty is in absolute sovereign control. And somebody said, but you don't always do that. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Exactly.
But let me tell you, when God ordains that I do, I will. And unless he ordains that I do, I won't.
That's it.
I won't. Because God had said, what shall then say? Wherefore hast thou done so? And let me tell you something. Look at it. And David said unto Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him what? Let him alone.
Yeah.
And look, and what?
Yeah.
And let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. But David knows there's always a method to what God Almighty is doing. His sovereignty is not simply some terroristic thing that God brings upon humanity.
Exactly.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
God is not up there just trying to terrorize human beings. God has a purpose in it all. And look at what David says. It may be. Now, did David know for sure? Why? Because you can't see anything in the future. You don't know exactly what God Almighty is doing.
That's right.
But he is doing what he's going to do. It will be for your good.
Yeah.
Look, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. If only I could live like that all the time. You know? Now you know why the psalmist said, Lord, if you don't do it, it won't get done. You know why? Because I'm not bent that way. Are you?
Yeah, that's it.
Are you bent that way? Now, we all have our ways of trying to deal with trouble. I understand that. I can relate to other people's way. But let me tell you, the only way that is good is to acknowledge God's absolute sovereignty in all things. That's just the way it is. If somebody's cursing me, they couldn't have done it unless God Almighty let them do it.
That's right.
Somebody touches me, they couldn't touch me unless God Almighty let them do it.
That's it.
Now, Paul doesn't negate the first phrase, "For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works." He doesn't negate the first phrase. What he is saying is here that God, before we ever do them, God before prepared in advance the very activities he made possible that we walk in. That's the only way it could be possible.
Amen.
That's the only sense of anything possibly good is that God Almighty does it.
Amen.
In other words, Paul is saying here, it took both creative and designing power by God for us ever to conduct ourselves as we should, even as believers. You see, it's not, well, I'm saved now. Now I can do everything right. It ain't that way. It ain't that way. Because sometimes even when you're doing what is right, God's going to bring calamity on you to bring you down into the dust so that you will once again acknowledge who he truly is. He has that right. What did our Lord tell Peter? Satan desired to sift you as wheat. Why? To bring Peter back down to earth. He was willing to die for Christ, but for the wrong reason. You know that? But for the wrong... When he whacked off that guy's ear, it is amazing. It was nothing short of God Almighty's absolute sovereignty that kept Peter from being slaughtered by that man right there at that moment.
Yeah.
The only reason that didn't happen is why? Because God didn't ordain it to happen.
Exactly.
But let me tell you, if God had ordained it to happen, what would have happened?
Yeah.
Those men would have turned on him and tore him to pieces.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's God's business too.
Yes, sir.
You see, what religion does is they'll give you the list. Here, if you do this, that's good. If you do this, that's bad. It's not that simple.
Exactly.
Now, most preachers think their job is to simplify it for you. My job, my responsibility, is to declare unto you, thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord says this, and you know it, Psalms, what is it, 29, or Deuteronomy 29:29, I think it is. I may be wrong about the verse. The actual, here's what it says. The secret things belong unto God.
Yeah.
The things that are revealed, that belongs to us and our children.
Amen.
My responsibility is to walk according to this book.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I will never do it unless God Almighty works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when I don't, when I ain't, there is no self-justification for it. And you see, that's just, I'm not going to give you the list. If you do this, that's a good work. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, exactly.
Other people say, well, if you do that, that's a bad work. Maybe, maybe not. Do you think slaughtering men, women, and children is a good thing? If God told you to, it would be. And we'll look at some examples of that.
Oh, yeah.
They said, we slaughtered them, men, women, and their little ones, but we took their cows and their goats and their sheep. You see, this is our God.
Yeah.
We're not trying to make up who God is. We're trying to declare who he is. And to say God is always right and I am always what? Wrong.
Exactly.
That's just where it's at. That's hard.
Yeah.
But that's the truth. See, it's always to honor God and to dishonor us, ourselves. In other words, Jim McLarty said it. Earl used to say it. Joe said it. I've tried to say it. You know, it is to take, here's what faith's about. Here's what believing God's about. It is to take sides with God against yourself.
Yes, sir.
Not against the Arminians. Yes, there are times, Joe, when we've got to speak up against that. There are times. But my main problem ain't them. It's me. That's my problem. take sides against God, against myself. That's the best place to be in. You know that? That's always, David, a good place to be. You remember that woman, the one person, our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, she did a good work. What was it to do? It was to break that alabaster box of ointment, to bow down before Christ, and to anoint him. Right? She took her place in what she was. You see, most people are trying to say, well, you've got to quit all this and quit all that. Let me tell you something. You will be quitting all this and that for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Being saved is not just, all right, I'm saved now, all of that's gone. I mean, you can go, God help me, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but you can go to classes for that. You can get nicotine gum, help you quit smoking if that's sending you hell, can't you?
Yeah.
See, that ain't the problem. The problem, as we even looked last week, is in here. My problem's my heart. The problem's me. And it's always a good thing to be in the dust, hating yourself and acknowledging God as who he is.
Amen.
And that's where God, that's what it's all about. Yeah. Jesus didn't condescend just to come down for coming down's sake. He condescended that God Almighty might be exalted above all things.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
In the end, Joey said, Christ is the light. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it's going to be.
Yes, sir.
You know, light is life.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for the sun, we wouldn't exist. I mean, you know that, even on a physical level. If it wasn't for the sun, we wouldn't exist. We could not exist in that absolute void of light. It doesn't do it. There are certain things that are essential for what? Life. And it says, Christ is the light thereof.
Amen.
You know, it's all about him.
Exactly.
And you know, salvation. Yeah, how do I know God's saving me? We always will saved me. Because we like that to be put up on the board where I can look and see it in the past. How do I know God is saving me? Is he continually bringing me back down?
Yeah.
And continually exalting himself above all things in my experience? But go back to, again, what Job said. I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear.
Yeah.
I'm not asking if you heard these things, if you know these things. If this is what you kind of, well, I know the Bible says it. And I'm saying, can you experience, have you experienced what Job had experienced? I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now mine eyes see thee. That's when you know God's beginning to save you.
Yes, sir.
When you begin to say, God's everything and I'm nothing. Father, continually not only encouraging us toward these things, Lord, but establishing us in these things. Lord, unless you work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure, we most certainly will not. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.